Almighty and compassionate God, be ever present with us who come asking the question, is my life making a difference? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be ever present and acceptable according to your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
During these summer Sundays of Pentecost, a time when our lives hopefully slow down a bit, I want to examine and reflect together over the next several Sundays on whether or not you are living your life with vision. This is something we don't do a lot in the Episcopal Church. It's a preaching series that will focus upon the fundamental questions of meaning that all of us face on our Christian spiritual journeys, and that the gospel texts in particular during this season reflect as well. It was Socrates who boldly said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Repeated by Plato as well. I want you to imagine with me, those of you that are old enough to remember, and some of you with me probably still do, use these things called legal pads, either white or yellow. I prefer yellow, better for thinking, for me. And if you have an iPhone, there's apps on it with that same yellow pad. So I have one on my iPhone as well. But I want you to imagine this yellow pad, and I want you to imagine putting two columns on this pad, side by side, column one and column two. And in the first column, you would be putting down the aspects of your life, your present life, that you believe are God-directed. The aspects of your life that you believe are God-directed. And in that second column, you would be putting down the aspects of your life that you would honestly say are not particularly God-directed. Now, obviously, it's more than we can do sitting in the pew here this morning, but something that hopefully you might take away with you and continue the process over the coming week. God-directed aspects of my life, aspects of my life that are not so God-directed. And above it, think of Proverbs 29:18, one of my favorite passages from Scripture, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where I do not have vision, my life is perishing. If I were to say to you on a 10-point scale, how important is it to have a vision for your life, I don't think many of you would go lower than an 8 or 9. And I think most of you would probably say 10. I don't think too many would say, oh, you know, just a 3 maybe. We'd say it's a 10. Everything you do or do not do each day is dependent upon that vision that you have for your life. And the vision that you have for your life affects the choices that you make all the time. The choice that you made to be here this morning was affected by that vision. It's from the most mundane choices to the more important ones to the most critical ones. And when someone says to me, I really don't have a vision for my life, I say to them, then that's your vision. Not having a vision is your vision. In other words, it becomes your vision because all of your thoughts and actions in your life have to relate to something. And in the case of not having a vision, then what your life is, or your vision is it's to have a directionless life. To have a life that just kind of goes in whatever sort of direction you want it, or you let it sort of aimlessly go. It may even be sad. And the good news is that God has given you the freedom to choose differently. God has given you the freedom to live with hope and to live with a vision. Living your life with vision addresses a deep need that you have. And it's the need to fully live. It's the need we all have to learn. It's the need we all have to love and be loved. And it's the need that we all have deep within to leave a legacy, to leave some kind of legacy, some kind of mark that we have been here. Well, what about vision and how it relates to who God created you to be, to what I would call your soul? If you do that exercise, and if you just even started as I was talking to sort of think of the yellow pad or the white pad and how you would list those things, you are starting to address the fundamental truth that God in Jesus Christ has a vision for your life. God has a vision for who God has created you to be. Whether you are an infant or whether you are 90 years old, God has a vision that changes as we move through life, but a vision that God is actively forming for you. This is what I consider part or a major part of what I do as a priest, and I call it soul work. And that is that I work with people on their souls. Big work, and it's work that I have to do all the time to be able to do it with other people. And if you look up in the Oxford American Dictionary, the latest 2013 definition of soul, it says the spiritual or immaterial part of a human being. And then, of course, in a secular way, it says often regarded as immortal. And of course, as Christians, we would say regarded as immortal. Whenever people come to me at some point in their life to talk about either their Christian spiritual journeys or a crisis in their life, life and death issue perhaps, the joys, the sadnesses, what we're talking about all the time at a subliminal level and sometimes at a very conscious level is their soul. The very essence of who did God create you to be? Who is God calling you to be today? And when you do that work, when you begin to assess the parts of your life that are God-directed, or the parts of your life that are not God-directed, you get a pretty fair analysis of where you stand. I still read the New Yorker magazine. I don't subscribe to it anymore, but I still pick it up when I'm in a bookstore and look at especially the cartoons for free. I love the cartoons, and I miss them. And one recent cartoon in the New Yorker magazine has a wife staring at massive bookcases filled with books. And she looks over and she says to her husband standing alongside, who's kind of like this, she said, "I've had all these books for years. They represent the person I once aspired to be." And all of us can relate to that at some level, that profound truth When Alan and I moved here just 2 years ago and had to pack up my books from my office and from our personal library and gave away a lot of books and still had boxes and boxes of books, tried to be conscious of not packing too many books into one box. Number one mistake that people make as they're moving, by the way, the heaviness of the boxes. My son, Philip, my other son, not Conrad, worked for a moving company part-time when he was in school and said to me, number one mistake, people load up those box books because they somehow represent for us who we want to be. If you looked at my books in my office here, this office is filled with them, you would see bookshelves lined with books on leadership, on from an effective church leadership position to leadership of our nation, to leadership of world religions. You'd see names like Jesus, Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr., Billy Graham, and others. All of those part of my journey. What is yours? And is Holy Scripture the plumb line for who God has called you to be? Today's passage from the gospel is very much about someone who knows who he is being called to be by God, the centurion, and who goes to Jesus and says to Jesus such powerful words that Jesus says, I have not yet met someone like this with this kind of faith in all of Israel. Someone who has turned their life over to God's. Can you give God the control of your life? Now, here's the trick in that question. You never had control of your life. I don't have control of mine. Yes, we can make choices, but ultimately, our lives are in God's hands. The choice that we get to make is whether we're willing to accept that reality and really give God our lives. To say the words of the beautiful psalm, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you, says the Lord. The starting point for this sermon series, the starting point for our lives living God-directed is to say to God, God, here's my life. Let me live it with your vision. Let me live it with your instruction, with your ways, with your counsel. How many of you are able to do that each day? We did it today, didn't we? We came to church. We made a choice. I mean, I didn't have that choice. Well, I didn't. But I have lots of other choices. I can choose whether or not to visit someone this afternoon and bring them communion if they're shut in. But you had a choice this morning and made a choice to say, I want to be worshiping at St. John's. I want to receive communion. I want to know what God wants for my life. And the only way this is possible is if you intentionally give your life to God. One of the prayers that I say often is one that I've written, and I say, Lord God, call me to be all that I am possible of being for you. Empower me to use my gifts for the spread of Jesus Christ's kingdom. Heavenly Father, I am yours. Use me for your purposes and glory. When I say that prayer honestly and from my gut, it's a scary prayer, isn't it? If you say that for yourself, what you're in effect doing in this prayer is acknowledging your fundamental responsibility to God. It's one that God doesn't force you to participate in. God didn't push you out of bed this morning, did God? Oh, maybe God did. If God did, I want to know about that. You know the old joke, I'm sure you've heard it, it is an old one, where the fella, this is another cartoon in the leadership magazine for clergy, the fella is sleeping and says, I don't want to get up, I don't want to go to church. And the wife says, you have to go to church. And he says, I really don't want to go. And she finally says, Philip, you're the rector. You have to go to church this morning. So live with vision. Live a God-directed life. What I want you to focus upon today is that exercise with the pad. It's the beginning. Begin to surrender to God all of it. Ask God to take control of your life. Incorporate this into your daily prayers, and as you come to God's holy altar this morning with me, and you hold out your hands for Jesus to bring Christ into your very being, say to God, this summer, Lord God, I want to give my life fully to you. Lead me, direct me in your ways. Let me be like that centurion who had such faith in Christ that you will say of me, I have never met one with such faith as you. We continue next Sunday. Amen.